Tech of Sports, episode 69. Terry Davis, PGA professional at FarmLinks. Tonight on the Tech of Sports, Terry Davis, the PGA pro at FarmLinks in Sylacauga, Alabama. And the Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. And Netcast Studio produces great content you can listen to anytime online. Go over to netcaststudio.com and check it out. Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. You can join us on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, netcaststudio.com/live. You can join the chat room, listen to the show, and the show then is available for download and embed and streaming the next day. So welcome, everybody, tonight. It's February all of a sudden, and we're going to talk a little golf tonight and a whole lot more with a great guy, Terry Davis. He's the PGA professional at FarmLinks in Sylacauga, Alabama, and he lives in Birmingham, Alabama. So we're going to talk about golfing in the South a little bit, and FarmLinks is one of my favorite courses. So, Terry, thanks. I missed you at the PGA show, Terry. Thanks for coming on tonight, and I was lucky enough, though, to see Tim. So hope you had a good show down there.
Yeah, it was a great show. Appreciate you having me on tonight. I was just running around crazy, you know, running to meetings left and right, and hey, did I miss you?
It was it was busy, like you said. It was back up to over 42,000 people, and it was it was a pretty good show. I don't know, when you go to a show like that, do you already have meetings set up or people you want to see, or how do you approach a couple days like that at a show like that?
Yeah, we usually fly in the day before the show, you know, play around a round of golf, meet up with some guys. Then, you know, the show, I pretty plan out all my meetings. Pretty much I'm going from 8:30 until about 5 in the afternoon, just meeting with vendors, showing me the, you know, we're buying for the fall of that season. So I'm meeting with all my vendors for clothing and going around checking out new clubs, just checking all the new stuff out. And kind of like you said, I felt like there was a lot more people there this year. And I saw, I think it was a New York Times story where they were 200 more companies there. So, you know, I thought that was very, very good for, you know, the PGA and also just the economy.
And one other thing I noticed, they usually have a little sticker or a little sign on the first time vendors at the show. And I saw more first time vendors than I had seen in previous years. So I made note of that. And if you were looking for clothes, that's definitely the show to be. I'm blown away every year by the number of apparel vendors. It's just mind boggling.
Yeah, it just seems like it's growing and growing. And it seems like more of your PGA pros that are on tour kind of, you know, cashing in on that. You know, Graham McDowell has his new line, I think last 2 years, Cartel, and, you know, Poulter has his line. I just think more of those pros are seeing the dollar signs on those clothing companies going more that way. But, you know, I did notice a lot of the booths this year, especially TaylorMade, you know, they were very scaled down to what they were in the past few years. They didn't have all the bells and whistles this year.
They were scaled down a little bit, but then you had companies like you wouldn't think of first as a golf company, like Oakley or OGO or even New Balance. They had a pretty big presence this year with some new they're all trying to go high tech with a lot of their products. And what's your opinion of New Balance getting into the golf shoe business?
You know, I think, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when I got kind of in the business, you know, FootJoy, the Classic Tour, was top shoe at $299, I think, a pop. And you know, I think these days people are just more on comfort. I think people, you know, that's why I think you see the rise in Nike shoes and sales. You know, they just make a great shoe, very comfortable shoe. And I think more companies are going with that price point of around $100 retail. And they know that's kind of their market these days. And, you know, I think a lot of these companies are missing out where, you know, the PGA is real big and trying to grow the game. And I think a lot of these companies have to scale down on their what they're selling their stuff for to get people in the game to help grow it.
Yeah, for a lot of golf products, that $99 is the threshold. Anything $99 or under, usually people tend to whip out their money or their credit card. When it's over that $100, $150, $179, people start thinking twice. I think, and a lot of companies have started to realize that, so they're maybe toning down a little bit. And like you said, golf shoes working in car. I think that's the trend when it comes to golf shoes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's like you said, comfort. And I think, you know, all these companies are going kind of what Echo did a few years ago, going away from the spikes and going with that, you know, I'm not really sure the name of it, but, you know, kind of those nubs on the bottom.
And I think they work pretty well. So I think Echo was ahead of the curve there a little bit.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, I think probably FootJoy has seen their stock in golf shoes go down, and I'm sure Nike and Ashworth and Echo and all those guys have seen their stock go up a little bit in golf shoes.
Yep, everybody takes note of that. And let's take note of, for the listeners out there that don't know who you are or who you who's your employer, who you represent, tell the listeners a little bit about a little unique little golf course in rural Alabama that you know really well.
Yeah, you know, once again, thanks for having me on. My name's Terry Davis. I work at a golf course called Farm Links Golf Club. We are on a 3,500 acre working farm. We're the world's only research and demonstration golf course, which means we've got over 28 different types of grasses on our golf course. We have several partners. We have Club Car. And, you know, what we do, we brought supers in to kind of show off new products, new grasses, just new techniques in the superintendent's market. And the Purcell family, it's owned by the Purcell family, and they were a big fertilizer company. And what they used to do, instead of, you know, pretty much paying sales reps, they had the idea of, hey, why don't we kind of design our own little area where we bring these people in and, you know, treat them with Southern hospitality, but also have one of the top golf courses in the U.S. And, you know, we've been ranked the number one public access golf course in the state of Alabama two of the last 3 years. So, you know, you've been there, and it's got some of the best scenery out there. And we've got hunting, we've got fishing, we've got kind of got it all. It's kind of a guy's paradise, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it really is. It's once you're on the property, it's just really amazing. And you get around the property with golf carts, and you have little lodges and cabins right on the property where people can stay, so they can finish up a round of golf, they can enjoy a meal, and they can be back out there early the next morning playing again. And it's you know, really one-stop shopping for a serious golfer, for a group of people, for a business outing, for a buddy trip, for a family, that type of thing. You guys can really accommodate any of that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we, like you said, we do a lot of corporate stuff, a lot of guys trips. You know, we're probably 45 minutes away from Birmingham, probably 2.5-3 hours from Atlanta, and about three and a half from Nashville. So, you know, what I would say is our big three markets. We get tons of guys from the Atlanta area. They come over, you know, quite often, love the place.
Yeah, Atlanta loves FarmLinks, no doubt about that. Here in the South, it's been a pretty harsh winter. How has that affected the course and your business and kind of the what you guys usually do in the wintertime there?
Yeah, that was, you know, I talked to a few of my fellow pros on the PGA show, and that was kind of the big talk. You know, I would say kind of December was probably, I would say 10, 15, 20 degrees cooler this year than it was last year. And, you know, January's just been miserable with rain and also cold. And, you know, just probably like majority of the golf courses in the South, it's been awful. And, you know, it's hurt business a little bit, but, you know, we're all hoping it's going to warm up and clear up here next week or two or next couple of weeks and get the golf season started.
When you have a harsh winter like that, does that make people more enthusiastic come end of February, beginning of March, and into the spring? Does that increase interest, you think, a little bit?
Yeah, I think people get a little cabin fever, and, you know, they last year, like I said, they were out there a lot in December and January, and this year it's not the same, and I think people are getting excited about it. And like I was saying to you earlier, we ran a little promotion for this weekend, and we sold it out in about an hour. I think people are just excited to get out and have some decent weather in the 50s, and we're looking forward to a good weekend.
And you guys recently at the PGA show, I saw a little picture. You guys won an award for Farm Links there. Talk about that a little bit. I think it was for your for the driving range area.
It was the GRAA, the Golf Range Organization, who is partnered with the PGA and the PGA Magazine. They kind of do a top 50 public ranges, a top 50 private, and they also do a top 50 teachers. And we put our name and video in for the top 50 ranges, and we got selected. So, you know, it's kind of cool to see your name in there beside Abandoned Dunes and a Pebble Beach and some of those top golf courses like that. So, but, you know, our range is very unique. It's, you know, you get out there, it's over 11 acres, and, you know, it's just got a beautiful view. You're heading out there into pretty much into a mountain, and it's really neat. You got a mountain as a backdrop and everything.
I go to a lot of courses, and the one thing that's pretty universal at those courses is they can, you know, they can remodel things or change things around, but they still have a limited amount of space for their practice facility. One advantage you guys have is you guys have acreage and you have space and you can do a lot of things. And I think that's really a great selling point for you guys.
Yeah. You know, and what I've always said is, you know, when people come to a place like ours, you know, you pretty much got, you know, two or three spots, you can wow them right away. And that's when they come to the bag drop and meet our guys outside, come inside. But, you know, the first time they go to hit a golf ball is on the range. And, you know, I think that could be a real, real wow factor. And, you know, we've got it dressed up down there. And then, like I said, it's great scenery and just a great view. And I think that gets people excited before they get to the golf course.
It really does. Have everything in one place there, and it's just an amazing amount of thought and design went into the place. It's really amazing. And you're a pretty good golfer yourself. Talk a little bit about your golf playing days and kind of how you got into being a PGA teaching pro.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a small town and played. I was on the high school golf team ever since I was in seventh grade. And you know, I kind of got about 10th grade, 11th grade, and I had a few small college scholarships and offers. And my dad said, "Hey, you know, what do you want to do when you go to college? Do you want to go and, you know, do the businessman world stuff, or do you actually want to go and do the golf stuff?" And I decided, "Hey, I want to do the golf stuff." And I my dad and I did some research on golf management schools, which that's what I attended, professional golf management school. And at the time, there were, I think, four or five, and the one I chose was Methodist College, which is in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and it was a great thing. It was a small college. I wanted to go to a small college, but, you know, kind of around Fayetteville, about 30 minutes away, is Pinehurst. Mm. So it was kind of neat going to college at Methodist, learn the golf management program, but also, you know, as soon as you're out of class, you're going out to Pinehurst number two or number eight or Pine Needles, any of those courses up there, and teeing it up. But, you know, I did that for 4 years, and my final internship for golf, it was at the Country Club Birmingham, actually in Birmingham, Alabama, and the pro there at the time, Ben Freeman, told me I had a job when I graduated, so I graduated there and worked my way up to head professional there, and in 2012, the director of golf job came up in at Farm Links, and my boss and I sat down and said, "This would be a great opportunity for me." And, you know, I'd played there a bunch of times and loved it and loved the people out there, and applied for the job and interviewed and got it. And, you know, kind of the rest is history for me at Farm Links. And, you know, it's great working for the Purcell family. And, you know, there's a lot of we got a lot of things planned out there, and you know, people just need to stay tuned, and I think you're gonna see a lot of exciting things happening out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's people can check it out right now and they'll be impressed, but it's only gonna get better. So I think that's, you guys are definitely onto something, on the right track, and looking forward to the future as you guys are. And let's take a quick break here for Amazon.com. And Amazon is the sponsor here of the show and a partner with the Netcast Studio Network. And you can use the affiliate link here at the studio, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, for any and all of your needs. And since it's the spring, it's a big wedding shower season and Mother's and Father's Day coming up. So if you use Amazon for your shopping, you can use the affiliate link, help support the studio and the variety of shows it brings its listeners. Once again, it's netcaststudio.com/Amazon. So feel free to use that. And like I said, Amazon has everything under the sun. So do your shopping on Amazon with the affiliate link. And Terry, how can listeners check out Farm Links and a website? And I know you guys are also pretty active on social media.
Yeah, you guys can go to www.purcellfarms.com, and that's PURSELLFARMS. And we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. You know, we're real big in social media. The Facebook's probably our biggest one. But, you know, you can check all those out, or, you know, our phone number is 256-208-7600. And we always got kind of stay and play packages going on. And, you know, if you're a hunter, we got fishing, we got shooting, we got clay shooting, we got all kind of hunting, turkey, duck, pheasant, we got it all.
Absolutely. And really good people there too, from the people that work in the pro shop to the people on the course to you and the management team. When people go to FarmLinks, they just really feel like they're well taken care of. And I know they appreciate that.
Yeah, we want to treat people with Southern hospitality. You know, that's what the South is known for. And we want them to get a little extra dose of that when they're at the farm.
They absolutely do. And since you're a PGA teaching pro, I'm always curious to talk to you guys about the roles of coaches with the young golfers now, and how many young golfers you work with and kind of what you see in them, and then how you manage the parents' roles also when you're working with a young golfer. I know that's kind of a delicate balance. I'm wondering how you approach that.
Yeah, you know, my last job, I worked with a lot of kids, and, you know, I think the biggest thing for the kids is just to have fun. You know, that's one thing I've always tried to teach them the basic fundamentals. And, you know, what I've always told kids is, you know, you can play golf when you're 40. You can't go out there and play football and basketball and baseball when you're 40. So, you know, golf's always going to be in your life. And, you know, with the kids, I think it's, you know, the big thing is just having, you know, let them have fun, let them enjoy it. You know, I feel what I see is a lot of parents put pressure on the kids to, and a lot of parents live through their kids on this kind of stuff. And I think you see that in all sports. But, you know, as far as the parents, I always tell them to, you know, just motivate the kids, you know, provide that encouragement. And, you know, when they have a bad day, just, you know, like I said, provide that encouragement and kind of keep them going. You know, when those kids get frustrated, they get burnt out, you know, sometimes they have to take breaks. And, you know, it's just the big thing with the parents is just, once again, like I said, I keep repeating myself, but provide that encouragement and staying positive for the kids.
Now, we're always telling the kids to have fun, and I think the pros have done a good job with telling the kids and trying to make golf fun. I know that's part of the initiative to grow the sport of golf. But if people told the parents to have fun as well and enjoy it, because you see kids out there enjoying it or trying to enjoy, and you see the parents a lot of times are just wrecks. I mean, what do you do in a situation like that?
Yeah, once again, I think it's the parents trying to live through the kids, and instead of going out there, you know, the kids to me, you know, what I was always taught is, hey, you know, just take what the golf course gives you, and the parents are sometimes get a little more of a control factor when they're out there playing. They want to control everything, and instead of just doing what the kids do, just go out there and have fun, and you know, you're gonna play better golf when you're loose and you're having fun versus trying to control everything.
Absolutely. And I know that you always try to make things fun. Do you get some juniors that come out to FarmLinks that you work with? Do you have that opportunity?
Yeah, we have a few juniors. We have a chapter for the First Tee program.
Okay.
So we have a few kids that come in. We have about 30 kids that usually come out every Tuesday and Wednesday and, you know, go through the First Tee program. They've had the First Tee program, I want to say close to 9 or 10 years now out there. So, you know, we keep going forward with that and, you know, just trying to help those kids out. And, you know, like I said, you know, golf can always be a part of your life down the road. I've seen a lot of business deals done on the golf course. I haven't seen many, many business deals done on the basketball courts or the baseball fields.
Or the football fields when you got some 45-year-old guys trying to play football.
Yeah, you can, you know, when you're 40, you can't be out there playing tackle football with your buddies, but you sure can play golf at 40.
Sure can. And one thing I like about FarmLinks is you don't shy away from technology and from innovation. But when you're teaching, what is some of the good new technology you've seen come across that is that you've adopted or you see is pretty worthwhile for you know, teaching people not only the fundamentals of golf, but then also taking someone who's got a game and you're trying to fine tune and refine it a little bit. What do you like that's out there now?
Yeah, you know, there was actually a big, and you may have, I'm not sure if you're at the show last year, the big kind of teaching aid that came out last year called the Cam Caddy. And yep. You can actually, it's a iPhone holder, and I think you can actually put about any kind of phone in it. But you can videotape yourself, download it to, and I use the V1, it's called the V1 app, and I download my golf swing into that and, you know, play around with it, draw lines and everything. I think that's a great app for guys who are, you know, constantly working on their golf game is, you know, buy one of these cam caddies and throw your phone in there, record your swing, and, you know, play around with it and see what you're doing. But, you know, a lot of the guys are real big into TrackMan these days. I think that's a great tool to use. But, you know, when it comes down to it, video is a great thing to use. But, you know, when you're a golf pro and a PGA member, and, you know, you've really got to use your eyes. You got to get in there with the student. You can't be behind that camera, or behind that computer, you know, during the whole lesson. You got to get in there and get involved with the student.
Really, the only way for the actual golfer that you're working with to really, you can preach to them all day, but for them to actually see what's going wrong, really, the video doesn't lie.
No. And, you know, I always laughed. I, back 4 or 5 years ago, I had a gentleman I was teaching, and, you know, I was telling him, I'm like, you know, Mr. So-and-so, you're doing this. And he swore up and down for a half hour he wasn't doing it. And I threw him on video and showed him right away he was doing it. And, you know, it just, you know, it was like a deer in headlights. He couldn't believe it. And, you know, the video helps you a lot. But, you know, like I said, you can't, you know, I kind of tell people, you know, especially my assistant pros, don't, you know, rely on staying behind that camera, behind that computer for the whole lesson. Get out there and, sure, you know, be a teacher too.
Sure. And it's gotten a lot easier to use video now as well. Like you talked about the Cam Caddy, and there's all sorts of other little products where you can use your tablet or your phone to get a picture of the swing. It sure beats the days when you had to set up the big tripod with the video camera behind you. You remember those days, Terry?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I'm sure you saw the show too. There's so many other, teaching aids. I mean, you know, there's probably five or six aisles of this new teaching aids. And, you know, we were talking about new companies, and I saw GoPro was down there this year, kind of showing their stuff off. And, yep, you know, a lot of teachers are starting to use GoPros also in their teaching.
What's your opinion on the little sensors you can attach to the clubs, or you attach to the glove or something that is that gives you that 3D kind of readout a little bit? Have you worked with those at all?
A little bit. I've actually, we are partnered up with the TaylorMade Performance Lab here in Birmingham. We send a lot of people down to it, but I've done their whole, where they put you in the whole outfit. It's almost like, yep, the avatar and everything. And, you know, that shows a lot. That's a really neat. And, you know, if people are looking at fit for TaylorMade clubs, I would say, you know, I know there's one over Reynolds Plantation, but those are, that's some great stuff to get on, get a lesson with it, but also do some fitting. But, you know, I think there's a lot of cool stuff out there. I hope people don't get bogged down with the technology. You know, try it out, see what works for you, but don't go to 20 different things.
No, because I think there is, like you said, there is so much stuff people can be intimidated by it. And, you know, the basics of golf are still, they haven't changed over the course of time. So I think that the technology is not a substitute for other things, but I think it's a kind of a little added extra that we have these days that they didn't have 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah. You know, the golf swing's changing all the time. I mean, you look at, you know, back in Ben Hogan's days until, you know, now look at Tiger Woods. I mean, look how much Tiger Woods' swing has changed since, you know, 97 till now. You know, and that guy, he's just a diehard. He always wants to get better and better. And, you know, I think that's one reason he's gone through so many teachers. He wants to get that next new thing and keep trying, going harder and harder.
Like you said, has the swing changed over the course of the years because of the equipment, or is it just because people's bodies have changed, how they now are more athletic maybe, or strength type things? Why has the swing continued to change like it has?
You know, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's athletic. I think people are more athletic these days than they were in the past. And, you know, clubs have changed. You know, you have new shafts or sometimes a little stiffer. And, you know, you can, these days people are getting more fitted for the shafts than they are the clubs. And, you know, but, you know, you kind of look at it, you look on the PGA Tour, are people shooting any lower now than they were, you know, 10, 20 years ago? You know, scores really haven't changed.
Golf courses. Courses have gotten longer.
Courses have changed a little bit. You know, Augusta, so-called tiger-proof, you know, several years ago. But, you know, guys are still shooting those low scores out there. But, you know, I think the swing has changed a lot. I think people have changed a lot. And I think the clubs have changed a lot.
They really have. And I think it's going to keep changing. And
Yeah, you know, I think golf balls have changed a lot.
Yeah, and women's golf has changed a lot. The girls are hitting the ball a lot further now, and that sport, I think, has changed maybe even more than the guys at a part of things.
Oh, I agree. I think women's golf is growing and getting bigger, and you know, I think that's the big thing. You know, especially with the PGA's initiatives to grow the game these days, we got to get women playing. We got to get more juniors playing.
And as we head into the spring season here, Terry, when things are going to start getting really busy, what are kind of the tips you give for people that maybe took the winter off and now they're dusting off the clubs and getting ready to head to the course? What are a couple things that they can they should do or should work on when they're coming back into form?
Yeah, you know, one thing I always used to tell guys, you know, when they come out of their winter break is first is make sure you check your club, check your grips. A lot of times, you know, you played all the previous season and you never, you know, your grips have been worn out. So you really probably need to look at new grips, but, you know, just getting out there, shaking off the rust, looking at your setup. You know, majority of time when people are getting a lesson, you know, probably 90% of time their setups kind of a little out of whack. So, you know, just making sure your grip looks good, your alignment looks good, your setup looks good. And, you know, just kind of going from there.
You find some people that come out after taking a winter break that actually are playing pretty well, or actually maybe are better than when they before the holidays, because they haven't developed the bad habits throughout the year. They come out fresh. And do you think that there's some merit to that a little bit? Taking that break is good.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, I think you, when you play a lot of golf and grind at it and everything, I think, you know, that winter break's good. I think it kind of clears your mind and, you know, probably gets your brain off some of those bad habits. But, you know, once you get out there and you start playing and getting back in the groove, those bad habits just come back. And, you know, I would recommend everybody before you really get into the golf season, playing a lot of golf, is definitely go out and get with your PGA pro and take a 30-minute lesson or an hour lesson and just, you know, start the season off right. Make sure you're going the right direction.
Absolutely. Great advice there. And, once again, give the website for FarmLinks and any of the contact information, and then give a little bit about the course again. Who has the course record? Some of the famous people you've had out there, and talk about the fifth hole briefly.
Yeah. Our website is, like I said, www.purcellfarms.com. That's Purcell Farms. And phone number is 256-208-7600. And, you know, like I said, check our website out. We've always got something going on there, and we always have different events. We got a Valentine's Day event coming up here soon. But we actually, since I've been there, we've had a few famous people out there. I know Bo Jackson's been out there. Charles Barkley's been out there. For the Talladega race last year, Juan Pablo Montoya came out, and I got a pretty cool picture with him, and he absolutely loved the golf course. And before he even got out the front gate, he was already kind of tweeting about us. So
that's very cool. Maybe a guy that won a major golf championship last year. He's been out there.
Yeah, Jason Duffner. He, you know, we got to get him out there with a trophy and get some pictures. But we always try to reach out to Talladega and always try to get those guys come out and play. Those NASCAR guys are big golfers, and
sure.
You know, I think when it comes down to everybody, all those sports athletes are big golfers, and that's just kind of their getaway. I know a lot of the Braves players are big golfers. We had a few of the former Braves come over this past fall. Greg McMichael, Zane Smith, a few of those guys came over and played a few rounds.
Who's got the course record right now?
We actually not sure exactly what the course record is. They really don't keep track of that. But if I had to guess, Steve Lowry, who's played on the PGA Tour, and I think he's on the Champions Tour now.
Yep.
He's actually from Birmingham, and he's been out there quite a few times. I know they said he shot around 62 and 63 out there a few times.
That's pretty strong.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, just kind of what you were saying about our fifth hole, three of our four par threes out there are all elevated, and we call it our fifth hole is the biggest one. It's called the club car hole. And it's a 170-foot drop from the top tee, and you just kind of go up, and you keep going up, and keep going up. And, you know, we always tell people, when you're on that hole, I don't care what tees you play from, just go to that back tee and sit up there. And we just we have people all the time go up there and take group photos and, you know, just take photos. And that's probably the biggest picture we get on our Instagram or our Facebook or Twitter is people standing on the fifth hole. And in fact, I was lucky to be part of that, part of something special. Last year, we had a guy propose to his girlfriend up there.
Wow. And if so, she would have said no, he could have pushed her right off.
Yeah, exactly right. I was up there pretending like I was taking pictures for our website, and they were playing golf, and he came up, and I asked if I could take some photos, and they agreed, and I took a few photos of them together, and that's when he dropped down on one knee, and she said yeah.
And it's the only golf course I've ever been to, Terry, where there's they set up a little table with a tablecloth and give you watermelon.
Yeah, like I said, we are a working farm. We have a garden. We're big into garden to table. We grow watermelon at our farm, and what we'll do is, you know, during that watermelon season, we always go up to the fifth hole, slice up some watermelon, and hand it out to the guests when they come through. And you know, it's a great little added value, but it's also good for us because we're out there and we're in front of the guests and, you know, greeting them and showing a little Southern hospitality.
Well, that's great. That's what it's all about. Cause you're in the heart of the South there, and you guys really embrace that. And, you know, I recommend you the course to anyone I talk with, Terry. So, you sold me on it, and I'm a big fan. So appreciate you coming on here tonight.
Yeah. Appreciate you letting me come on, and, Thank you for all you've done for us, and you know, the tweeting and everything you've done for us.
Sure. And then I always ask my guests one last question as we wrap up here, Terry. What's the one modern gadget or piece of technology you can't live without?
Probably 90% of the people say, or 99% of people, my iPhone or my iPad.
Yeah, that's what a lot of them say. Once in a while, they'll surprise me with something, but you know, the phone now is really almost a part of our bodies and attached to us all the time. So it's hard not to have that phone on us.
No, I mean, you think probably 10, 15 years ago, we couldn't get emails, hardly get anything on the phones. And now we can do everything on the phone.
Even on that fifth hole, I was able to get service up there.
Yeah.
Terry, appreciate you coming on. You guys do a great job, and look forward to hearing more when you guys debut some new news there from the farm. It'll be fun to see all that in action.
Yeah, thank you. And like I said, thanks for having me on, and hope we'll see you back at the farm here soon.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks for coming on. Just want to let all the listeners know the Netcast Studio has many other shows which may be of interest to them, and they can head over to netcaststudio.com, check out all the shows that are available, and also the directory, internet broadcast directory called Two Thumbs Up Media that was set up by the people at Netcast Studio, and that's twothumbsupmedia.com. That is it for the Tech of Sports for this evening. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports, a Netcast Studio production.